Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks, the show where cocktails and unsolved mysteries come together in a
cocktail.
Oh,
fuck you.
Kill me now. Where we make cocktails and try to solve unsolved mysteries. With me, as always, is Chris.
Hello.
And Suze.
Yeah.
How you guys doing? Good?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Very convincing.
I had a great week last week. I had to talk about EastEnders on BBC Radio Sussex twice.
Wow.
They
it's a dream.
Yeah, it's like my whole career came together in one radio week. Thing. Yeah, one small week. And so I did it on the Monday and they went, oh, can we get you to come back on Friday? That was good fun. I was like, yes, please.
Yes.
I was on Friday and I went, I'm just going to type into Twitter, BBC Sussex, see if anyone said anything. And the only thing anyone had said is one man who'd written in all caps, fucking EastEnders shite.
Wow.
So I'm making new fans all the time.
Yeah. That's sweet.
it really cracked me up.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Fucking EastEnders shite.
I distrust. I mean, listen, I'm not an EastEnders fan, and I know you think that's a mark against me as a person, but I'm sort of ambivalent to it.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I can understand why people love it. I can't understand why people hate it.
Yeah, how can you hate
much?
It? That
I don't get. It's weird.
Yeah.
Well,
they're deeply unhappy people.
Yeah, you're right. There are people that just want to hate on stuff as well.
Like me with wrestling. I've made an enemy of Twitter I made a mild joke about how wrestling is for children on Twitter, and it angered the wrestling community of Twitter.
So all of Twitter.
And one of them went, how would you fucking like it if I wrote a tweet saying that EastEnders was stupid? I was like, well, I wouldn't care. I'd see it and scroll on. And
did you screenshot the guy that went, fucking EastEnders?
I hadn't said that to him. Be like,
and I was fine with it.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I put it in my show.
Here's the one thing, right? The one thing that I genuinely love and have since childhood, and it might betray my geek roots here, but like Doctor Who is something that ever since I was 4 years old has been like, oh, I love it so much.
Yeah.
And I've brought that with me through to now, 30 years later.
Yeah.
People hate it so much that I've kind of had to sort of like. And Doctor Who fans hate it. No one hates Doctor Who more than a Doctor Who fan. It's so crazy.
I watched
Why
that show.
Why do they complain about it?
It's not like it was in the 70s. I tell you what's really angry. Why is it so political these days?
Case in point, the Green Death, 1974, was all about environmental.
Mystery on the rocks, Mystery on the rocks, Hey, someone's just come through the door. They heard what you were saying.
And he just nodded vociferously.
He nodded through the door and then walked in. Oh my God, it's Paul Ganner.
Hello.
Hi, Paul. Do you remember the Green Goddess or whatever?
Whatever the hell these nerds are talking about.
These fucking dildos over here talking about.
It was the Green Death as well.
Green Goddess was something else.
I'm not a huge Doctor Who fan, but like yourself, I do find it amusing when people get angry about how, I can't believe how woke it is these days and how there's all agendas and issues. Like, you know, it started out as an educational show teaching about history and differences and how far we've come as a culture and blah blah blah.
Oh my God.
You remember that stuff? or are you more concerned about Colin Baker and the twin dilemma and how the special effects didn't quite match up to
you know what I mean? It's like that.
Wasn't it the first show before Star Trek to have a on-screen kiss between a black character and a white character? Were you telling me that?
That was a hospital drama from the 60s.
That was a hospital drama. Okay.
Oh God, what was it called? I can't remember, but like basically 60s casualty.
Yeah, but that predated the Star Trek.
Yes, it did. It's in black and white. And I saw they showed it on a TV show.
Which
about...
makes it more symbolic.
It's like American History X. When it's set in the past, it's all in black and white. They showed the kiss. It was actually quite sexy.
Yeah,
it wasn't just a chaste one, it was just a sexy one.
The Star Trek kiss wasn't particularly sexy. In fact, I believe in the context, he's forced to kiss her by the gods who were playing their games. So like what they're saying is, he's forced to kiss her. I mean, I can understand why, because she's a crew member and it gets HR involved and all those kind of issues. But
they use that as a defence, the production team, I believe, when the network were like, you can't show them kissing there.
It's all right, it's against his will.
Terrible. Like,
no, he doesn't want to.
Welcome to the offshoot of Mystery on the Rocks. Kisses that shouldn't have happened on TV. I don't know.
Well, what are we drinking on that bombshell?
We got a... this is a, I guess it's a mint, lime and mint cooler.
A mint.
A lime and mint cooler.
It's
I feel terrible because I was like, do you want alcoholic drink? And I was like, I don't drink because I'm one of the few people who recognises they're not funny when they're drunk.
I wish I could recognise that. Yeah.
we'll all get there eventually.
Yeah, don't worry. On that bombshell, this is alcohol free. Pass me some rum.
Yeah. Please do get drunk on my behalf.
This is delicious though. It's like a mojito.
Yeah, it's like a mojito.
Yes. So it's mint, lime, and soda water and a bit of sugar syrup. Ooh. So it's a mojito without any of the mojito. Well, rum.
I've come a long way, haven't I? Because I knew it needed rum. In the old days, I'd have just gone, I'll just pass me anything. Chris, what's the mystery of the day?
What have you got for us today?
Okay, so this is maybe a bit serendipitous because, Paul, am I right in believing that you once worked with Derek Okora?
Yes, I did.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I have had a very weird career.
Yeah. How did that come about?
Well, again, to cut the very, 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 very long story short, I tried to commit suicide once, and that was... Well, no, that's not true. Twice. So,
this is perfect for us.
Thank you.
We'll be very sensitive and respectful.
It's all right. I'm very blunt with it.
Listener, when I asked him this question, I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Now, come on, got a bit of a funny story I've heard behind this.
Now, there's no Sixth Sense twist here where you realise I'm a ghost the whole time, but basically... off the back of that, I went to get therapy and help, and I went to all these different kind of places. Long story short, one of the doctors put me to one side and said, listen, maybe you just need an activity, get out the house. And so I was a big fan of shows like Most Haunted, Ghost Hunters and things like that.
Right.
Obviously, I'm a big, huge Ghostbusters nerd, know that inside and out.
Gotcha.
So I thought, well, why not at the weekend go ghost hunting? So I started going and hanging out with ghost hunting groups. And if you don't know what they do, they basically, for about £50, you can spend like 6 hours in a haunted venue overnight.
Yeah.
And you get all the gadgets you see in the TV shows and you go ghost hunting. So I went all around the UK, went to the Hellfire Caves, I went to some asylums, I went to abandoned hospitals, castles, forts, all these places. And then what happened was that one of the groups I was working with was someone came forward from a production company, a theatre group, and went, we would love to do a Most Haunted style show on stage. And so we thought, we could use your experts, and we're going to have a psychic off the telly, and we've got a guy called Richard Felix, who was one of the Most Haunted historians. And we just need a host. And so I think they called 7 or 8 people who all said no, and then they called me because I was doing stand-up at the time, because I had some experience, because I've had this, that, and the other. They said, do you want to host it? So I did. And towards the end of that tour, Derek Okora became our resident
psychic
on the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there are loads of legally troubling things I can't bring up.
Oh, goodness.
Yum, yum, yum.
Overall, it's like most things. It's like overall, as a human being, as someone I conversationally had fun with,
he
was fine.
Yeah.
And I do believe he believes the stuff he's talking about. Whether it's because he loves the smell of his own farts.
Yeah.
But... he would talk openly about, you know, one day everyone will see. You'll see what I see one day, I promise you.
Oh, that's spooky. You know,
that kind of stuff.
That. Yeah.
God.
He was so convinced about it. And again, do you think
maybe he was mad?
I don't know because I think to be a psychic, you have to have a certain amount of eccentricity to you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And this isn't any lie at all, but like being a stand-up is very similar to being a psychic in terms of how you start out. So you start out with small clubs, you're on with a bunch of psychics who all take turns to read the room. And then if you do well, they go, I think they call it platform work, but platform work would be like you doing the Apollo.
So it's that
idea, like when you get to that stage, then you're on your own, you can fill a 2-hour show, you've got the big enough audience. So there's and there's still the same kind of bitchiness, like, oh, I can't believe it, that psychic got that wrong. I can't believe it. I read that wrong and I saw her dad standing next to him the whole time. You know, all these kinds of
things. I can't believe he spoke to that ghost. I was going to speak speak to that ghost.
Yeah. Oh, so anyway, long story short, yeah, I've worked with Derek Acora.
My next question is, working with Derek Acora, do you believe or are you a skeptic?
No, here's the thing. I do not believe in ghosts or anything after you die at all, which puts me at odds with the people who go, well, why do you do it? And I've always found it more interesting for the people who go and the history.
Yeah. Right.
I found quite a lot out about this country from doing ghost hunts, because there's a kind of, you know, people pass on stories, history through ghost stories.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how sometimes people lost to history are remembered, because they were the tragic murder in the tower.
So the reason I asked you if you believe or not, and if you went on a ghost hunt, even if you haven't, I mean, you'll know about this one, about the Enfield haunting.
Oh, the Enfield poltergeist is
I do
legendary.
Know about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a great story.
Interestingly as well, we've already done one poltergeist episode.
Oh, Black Mount of Pontefract.
The Amherst one.
Oh, the Amherst. Yeah. And that's not as reported as much, but it isn't much evidence.
And what's strange about it is exactly 100 years before the Enfield. It's exactly a century. Yeah. So the great Amherst one was between 1877 and 1879, and this is between 1977 and 1979. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's... and very close by as well. We record in central London. This this happened in Enfield, which is obviously north London. Mm. And it kind of focused around a young girl called Janet Hodgson, who was visited by a poltergeist called Bob. I believe his name was Bob.
Yeah.
I just get some more creative names.
Yeah.
Just like Bob.
So yeah. I've got all of eternity to think of a scary ghost name. Yeah. Oh, I saw Blackadder last night. Bob.
Bob. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
So I'm Mike.
Listen, Paul. I'm going to refute that claim.
Go on.
Because this predates Blackadder, so they couldn't.
Oh, that is a very good point. That is a very good point.
So although, if you're doubting Bob,
Blackadder ripped him off.
This happened. Basically, for those that you don't know, it was a claim of supernatural activity at 284 Green Street, which was a council house in Enfield. And it revolved around two sisters, Janet and I think it was Margaret.
Yeah.
Margaret was 13 and Janet was 11. It was Janet who it mainly centred around. Which goes back to what we were saying when we did the Great Amherst.
Oh, about the puberty.
Although Esther in the Great Amherst one was actually 18.
Yes.
19 when it happened.
Whereas she's just about to...
This one's just about to...
You make it sound like fruit going off. She's just about to turn.
It feels very much like that Hollywood thing of like in horror films where they're like, well, you have sex, you're going to die. If you're about to hit your first prayer, turns out you're get haunted by ghosts.
Plays into this, this sort of like... shunning of women, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas sort of like, you know, menstruating women, according to a lot of religion, is you know
you can't go in the temple and
should shun them. But also this idea that poltergeists visit women just as or young women just as they're about to
hit puberty.
Mm. It's kind of like I don't understand. And it's a strange thing that all the cases relate to that. There might be an explanation for it.
Well, the problem is that a lot of poltergeist documentation has changed over the years. And so what was recognised as poltergeist activity now wouldn't have been it 100 years ago. So when we say, oh, it happens around puberty, it's only because like 3 or 4 notable cases have had those examples.
Okay.
And the reason that the Enfield one is so... what's the word? Ubiquitous.
Yeah.
When it comes to this is because it happened fairly recently. So the reason... people talk about it and they know about it is because the mainstream media, and bearing in mind this is late 20th century, when were you born, Paul?
78.
So
edit that out.
At the height of this. At the height of this.
Yeah.
So basically my point is, because it's so...
so I think
you've got a poltergeist for a dad. How do you feel about that? Yeah.
Have I had better dads?
But because it's so recent, and because the mainstream media, and I'm going to use these words, they fell for it.
Yeah.
It got reported as if it was actually happening, and then it's become this...
The Daily Mirror with the big paper behind it pushing it.
Well, because they went and because actually, do you know what? As you know so much about it.
Well, I don't know because
sounded like Chris going, as you know
about it. I didn't really
ghost, ghost man.
No,
fuck this.
What I mean
ghosty man.
No, what I mean is that I'd actually quite like to see if we can do it just by chatting.
All right,
oh, that'd
like
be fun.
This.
Yeah.
Then slavely going, oh, in my notes.
See, I'm a broad strokes kind of person, not a fine details, but I do have the broad strokes of the story in my head.
Which is fine because we're not a fine details podcast.
Great. I refuse to do fine detail podcasts. Okay, so, thank you.
Good. So there was the photographer of the Daily Mirror, because first of all, let's nail our colours to the mast.
Yeah.
I'm a skeptic.
Yes.
You're a skeptic. Yeah. Suze?
No such thing as ghosts.
And Paul has already said exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So, although I want to put an asterisk above that. I have seen shit I can't explain.
Same.
Yeah, we've
same.
All seen shit.
Yeah.
Same.
But that's not a stretch to say, oh, Nanny's in a better place now.
No, exactly.
Yeah. But if you see things you can't explain, you can be like, I don't know. When you see something you can't explain, you can either go, fucking hell, that's weird. Or you can go, I just don't know the answers to that.
Yeah.
There's a very different... those are different reactions.
Yeah.
And so when these things started happening, the mother, who was named Peggy, she called the police first of all.
Yeah.
And the police.
Wait, what was happening? What was it like?
Okay. Okay. So the very first instance was furniture started moving in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And
that's what the people upstairs about my flat is. I don't think it's fucking poultry.
But this was a house, right?
Just a house.
Yeah. And they were in the room when it happened.
That's scary. Apparently. There are people who live who don't understand that houses used to be one building without different floors and flats in them.
Right?
We now live in a world where it's like, oh, that lovely house has three flats in it.
Yeah.
That is. Oh yeah.
So this was quite a. Was it a terrace house or a semi? Either way, it was.
It was attached. It was a semi.
Yeah. So they had a bedroom upstairs that the two girls shared. The mother was in the room.
Yeah.
And the chest of drawers kept moving, and she tried to put it back against the wall. It moved again, and then she tried to push it back, but it was pushing back against her, and she couldn't do it. So she called the police, and the police came around, and the WPC. And there's footage of her on the news talking about this. The WPC says, and a chair moved, and I checked for wires, and I couldn't see anything, and I can't explain why this moved while I was in the room with it.
Right.
So the police said that.
Okay. Yeah.
The interesting thing about this whole case is that out of all the poltergeist cases of all time, this is the one with the most documentation behind it, with the most witnesses.
Because it's all
police records, all this kind of stuff.
I love the police got involved.
Yeah.
Pretty early on.
The police very quickly did not. Like, they stopped getting involved. Yeah. They were there for
this.
They were there this once, and you're right. And it's because I know these days, were it to happen, it would be documented even more.
Well, there'd be your phone camera,
phone cameras and stuff.
Phone and
that, I might suggest that's why nothing like this happens anymore. But in the late 70s, you're just on the cusp of it being. Having all of these documents in the witnesses and people like taking notes and recording it. But still a kind of naivety when it comes to technology and other stuff.
Right.
So this police constable was like, I don't know what happened. I can't explain it. This chair moved and I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
And then that frightened a lot of people. And then the next port of call for the mother was to call the Daily Mirror.
Mm-hmm. And,
Exactly.
Well, it's a little bit more convoluted than that because the SPR gets involved in the SPR, the Society... After the Mirror, but okay. Maurice
What's
Gross...
What's the SPR?
The Society of Psychical Research.
Fucking hell. I like the P.
Yeah, I know, right? They have to throw the P in there because it's silent.
There's a couple of very big characters in the SPR.
Yeah.
But they don't get involved until after the Mirror report on it.
Yeah.
So the mirror go around and loads of shit starts flying around the house.
Right.
Well, the ghosts aren't a fan of
they can't get
right wing media.
They can't get
Piers Morgan, he's the editor. I don't think he was the editor in the 70s.
And also that would have involved creative thought, and I don't think he's got that within him.
They didn't get any photographs of this ship flying around.
Oh, shockaroo.
They even did have cameras running, yeah.
Even though there was a photographer there. And the photographer, there was about like 13 years ago, there was a Channel 4 documentary all about this case. It's on YouTube.
You mean documentary in inverted commas there?
It's called, Channel 4. Yeah, it's called Interview with a Poltergeist.
which means you know exactly when this was released. If you were a fan of Interview with a Vampire, they were obviously trading on that. You know?
It was broadcast in 2007, and it includes interviews with a lot of people that were there and witnesses in that. And one of them was this photographer for the Daily Mirror, and he was like, "It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen." And then like things hit him in the face.
Yeah,
and Lego like, and stuff.
Yeah,
like that,
It was Lego specifically that tickled me.
Lego,
because he said, yeah, this Lego brick hit me in the eyebrow, and that doesn't sound like much, but at that speed, and it's sharp.
They are lethal bedroom killers. Lego bricks.
You ever stepped on one?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
the three main ones, the two daughters, Margaret and Janet, and the mother Peggy.
Yeah,
they seem really not bothered by the poltergeist after a while, and it's really odd because every time, so like after it got reported by the Mirror and the SPR got involved,
yeah,
a lot more press interest happened. So like they sent somebody from BBC Radio down.
And there is audio footage,
yeah,
as well,
with a recorder. Oh, yeah. So first of all, it barks like a dog.
Fine.
And then they go, "There's no dog in this room." The ghost tells how it dies.
Yeah,
and it says, "My name is Bob. I lived in the house before, and I had an hemorrhage in the armchair, and I died in it."
Now, this is coming out of the voice of a girl. This is coming out of the body of a girl.
So the girl is... but her lips don't move. Yeah.
Okay.
And they did some tests where they filled her mouth with water and taped it shut, and the voices still came out.
Well, don't do that to her.
She said okay.
Yeah, she did.
Okay, well, how do we explain that?
Well, there's a few theories. One is she uses the similar muscles that ventriloquists use to talk.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the science of it now, but there's bones that you might know because you sing and stuff. There are things in the throat that aren't usually used when you speak, but if you
you get
them going.
People who've had a tracheotomy can still speak, so they can be taught to speak.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. With that. Okay. So, and that is a bit what that sounds like. And so maybe she was just able to do.
But
that.
They were also saying like an 11-year-old girl couldn't make a sound that deep.
That guttural and deep, right.
Not with her vocal folds, but maybe
yeah,
with...
exactly.
Yeah.
Basically, there's a lot of evidence that comes up that is very weird, easily explained away.
that's the thing. There's evidence that falls in that beautiful middle ground between you can debunk it really easily, or there's still an element of...
And that's why it endures.
There's one story as well about a woman who's in the street outside looking up through a window and saw one of the girls floating in the...
Right.
But then, I can't remember the exact...
That's metal,
it's
man.
Not just... It's not, that,
this is the story with the pillow as well.
Yeah, not to interrupt you, but...
Although you just did. I'm just going to point that out.
Yeah.
It wasn't just one woman that saw that. It was,
really?
It was two separate people at the same time saw...
She
was floating horizontally above a bed in the window.
However,
in full view of everybody. How amazing.
Mm. Had the story in the Mirror come out, though, at this point?
Yes.
Everybody
was like,
let's go visit that house down Green Street.
The tragic part of the story is his name Maurice Gross? Maurice Gross? Maurice Gross is a really interesting character. So he was what you would call a maverick ghost hunter.
Yeah.
Why am I picturing him in a sweater vest?
He probably is. Have you ever seen like those Open University 70s
I'll
science
show you a
lectures?
Picture.
Yes.
He's like that.
Okay.
He's dead now.
Gross.
He died a few years ago, and I nearly got to meet him, and it just didn't work out at the time.
Because he's interviewed posthumously, but like the documentary that I was talking about got...
Releases someone.
It got released after he died,
right.
But he was interviewed in it.
Well, it's interesting because the story became almost more about him. The reason why he got involved in the case was obviously because it was a big deal, and they reached out to him. The Daily Mirror reached out to him because he was at the SPR to do the research. But he had a daughter, and his daughter shared the name of one of the girls in the case. I never remember the details. What the name of the daughters again? Because my brain is...
So the daughter's name Margaret and Janet.
So I think Janet, he had a daughter called Janet, and she died in a biking accident a few years ago.
Yes.
And the spooky thing is that he got a Christmas card from her that he didn't open until Christmas, but on the card was a motorcycle crash or some kind of car crash in the car, like a comedy. Janet sent the card saying, "Oh, I hope I don't have an accident on my bike," kind of thing. But then they reckon he took his kind of feelings about his lost daughter and implanted them into being a father figure for these daughters,
But also the fact that he lost his daughter, they say like that's why he clings so dearly to this idea.
That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah. And as I say, there's lots of stuff. They said, "Can you do a thing?" And the ghost did a thing where it put a pillow that was in a room on top of the roof of the house next door.
So now it's just doing tricks, is it?
Yeah.
and like
a little dog.
Ghost,
roll over.
Yeah, bark like a dog.
Most Haunted invented basically the genre of paranormal reality TV.
Before then,
you had shows like, you know, Tales from the Unexpected, or you know, like those Leonard Nimoy documentaries in the 70s, UFOs. And then the form changed. And weirdly, Ghostwatch kind of preempted it.
92, isn't it, yeah. Ghostwatch? Yeah.
And Ghostwatch is a fascinating piece of TV because you look at it now and like you see what Most Haunted became. And Most Haunted just lifted it, the template, and dropped it in.
And still plays it for real.
And still plays it for real. Now, they started out in the early 2000s with this show that was, I'm not going to say revolutionary, but it did kickstart a genre, right? Yeah. Of kind of black and white ghost hunting. It's in the scene, scientific
night
stuff.
Vision.
And then they went on, probably past their sell-by date. But what was happening in the interim is that the Americans saw the success of that show, made their own. So that's where you get Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures. And those guys made millions off those shows. I always look at it like you compare like ghost hunting in the UK and America. It's like pornography. You know when you watch it in America, the pornography is all glistening and it's cool and it's all soft and it's professional. Yeah. Then you cut to British porn, it's in an alleyway with someone going, oh, you know, you like that, don't you, darling?
Give it me. Yeah.
Why did you do my voice when you
I don't know.
When you're doing British porn, why did you do my accent?
Hey, Chris, it's all right. Everyone needs to make a dollar.
I generally think American stuff is the same.
What videos have you seen?
I've seen them all. Pop the pack, pop the pink, not the brown. I've seen them all.
Give it me.
Ghost hunting's become this huge business as a result.
Disgusting.
Oh, great.
That's an actual bit of porn that I saw because when I was a cruise ship pianist.
What a segue.
For P&O, we used to go across the North Sea to Holland and Belgium. And there was a chant that we had TV in our cabin, my cabin, and I was looking through the various channels. They were all like weird channels. Most of them were in Dutch. I found one that was like Sky Movies. It was showing quite new movies. I was like, oh, brilliant, you know, and I sat there and sort of watched There Will Be Blood, the year that had come out. And then I went to do my shift, which was like 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock, played piano, sang a few hits to arseholes, and then I went back to my room and I was like, and it's great. I can fall asleep watching a movie. I put it on. It was fucking hardcore porn. And it was fucking hardcore British porn. And like, literally, after about 10 seconds, it was just some woman going, give it me. And I told someone on the ship the next day, I went, hey, there's that movie channel. It's great. It shows good films all day. And I put it on. It's hardcore porn. They went, yeah, and on Monday night, it's gay porn.
It's nice to get recommendations.
So I remembered that for Monday nights because I like that.
Yeah. Everyone's a winner.
When it's two fellas, I'm like, everyone involved is having a good time at least.
Give it me.
So this was meant to be a put to about ghosts and then.
Is it time for another drink? Yeah,
it probably is. It probably is.
Masood likes it. He's like, do you remember the name of that movie? This is a Christmas drink, if ever I smelt one.
Yeah, there's a massive, like, big old cinnamon stick in the middle of this.
Yeah, God, bloody cinnamon stick in my drink.
So this is a non-alcoholic hot toddy.
Wow, this is Christmas in a cup.
Ooh, that clears you out.
Yeah. What would go well in this, by the way, other than a blow-off?
Whiskey.
Give me some of that.
Give me some
of whiskey. I'm going to put that in.
Give it me.
You want some?
No, give it me. Oh, look at this. Hey, Masood, how do you make a give it me Trump?
You have to take the lid off.
I just tried to pour it in without the lid, with the lid still on.
You take a teaspoon of lemon juice, a tablespoon of honey, half a teaspoon of cloves, so a cinnamon stick, and, well, no, agave.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Honey for the non-vegans, agave.
Load of bees swarm around Chris's head going, you lied to us.
So it's basically all the ingredients for a hot... Oh, and tea. Make it with tea.
Ah, I thought I could taste tea.
Okay, so we've got a story...
The police have come round. The
story
Daily Mail's come
that
round.
Has captured the nation.
Yeah. Yes.
They are bang on board for this.
Yeah.
And yes, there are two independent witnesses that saw her floating.
Oh, floating above the window.
There are a few pictures as well, which don't really help the argument because while the people who take the pictures say, oh, it's definitely hovering, it does look like she's just jumped in the air off her bed.
Right.
It does look like
I have seen these pictures.
Do it again. Knees are bent and everything.
Yeah. And there's a lot of duvets in the air, also, like they've just gone, woo!
You know those photos that people look like they're all... Those gifts of people look like they're flying or something because they just keep jumping.
Mm.
And she,
it's like supernatural planking.
Yeah. Apparently, she was also quite proficient in gymnastics at school as well. There's another thing.
She could have just been practicing.
Bear in mind. When people talk about the voice coming from her, the water test with the tape over her mouth, the only people there when they did that were Maurice Gross and Fairplay.
Yeah. Which is ironic considering the names for yes. it doesn't seem like half the experiments they did were.
And gross.
When the cameras were there and the BBC were there with their radio equipment, yeah. when the ghost was talking through her, there was no tape over the mouth.
Oh. Or
water.
But it still sounded quite guttural.
It sounded weird.
I died in my armchair.
But not impossible. And they actually, a ventriloquist went around.
That's right. A famous ventriloquist. And I forget his bloody name
now. It's all right. I've got it here.
I don't think it's Keith Harris.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Imagine if he was like the leading expert. He just happened to be an entertainer with a monkey and a
I ate that, Bob.
I would love that so
much. I wish I could hover 2 inches above my bed, but I can't.
You can. You just jump and I'll take a photo.
I ate that duck.
He refused to appear on Extras.
Did he?
Yeah. Robert De Niro said yes, but Keith Harris said no.
What?
I don't know. I kind of have a little bit more respect for Keith Harris now hearing that story.
he was a ventriloquist named Ray Allen.
Ray Allen, who did the Lord Charles puppet. Yeah. That's the one. Remember? Oh, you silly arse, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who had a famous career on radio as a ventriloquist.
As a ventriloquist.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, anyway. Yeah, that works.
How easy having a comedy career on radio was back in the 40s and 50s. It's like, I can pretend I'm a spoon with my mouth. Great, 4-hour episode for you, mate. You got on Christmas Day.
Thanks for coming by. We'll put you on the radio right now.
So he went round to... Yeah.
To corroborate.
Yeah, and he concluded, get this,
yeah.
that her male voices were simply vocal tricks.
Ooh, no.
Yeah.
So, and actually, it's impressive,
she could.
It's a little creepy that an 11-year-old girl.
I mean, like,
keen on being a ventriloquist.
Like, I reckon you could do it if you concentrated without moving your lips.
Hang on.
Because it was basically this ghost was just going
give it me.
I died in the chair.
Maybe she was always yawning as well. She'd like hand over her mouth. Like,
and she was using it as an excuse to swear as well.
Very much
I saw
so.
I really respect what was her name? Janet. Yeah. I respect and, Janet.
It's just her saying, fuck off.
It was just her. It's just Janet on her period going,
shut the fucking door. Shut the fucking door.
I love that there's so much in. They talk about the fact that she was on her period so much.
They do as well.
They never shut up about it. They're little girls on their period. They just want to talk about it all the time.
And there's also like they studied the vocal patterns of the things she would say, and they were very common with her. Yeah, with how a child of that age would speak.
Oh right, yeah.
So it's like, I learned it from Bob.
So here's the thing: when they're talking to Bob, and they go, "Where are you?" and he says, "On top of Janet."
Yeah.
Ugh. Where do you sleep? And he goes, "On top of Janet." And they go, "Why do you sleep on top of Janet?" That's my bed. Is what he says, and then
ghosts are so clingy.
I know,
but
then they also ask him, the ghost. They say, "So why can't we see you?" And he goes, "Because I'm invisible." And they go, "So why are you invisible?" And then he says, "Because I'm a GHOST." And
it's like, was he hoping to release a rap album? Bob,
the original GHOST.
It's like, Bob, mate. I mean, Bob.
Yeah.
Say you're a ghost.
Yeah. Just say ghost. I'm a ghost, you idiots.
It's a kid thing to go.
Maybe it's like,
you're so thick.
Earth to people in the room, I'm a ghost. Duh.
Yeah.
But those girls were caught faking it one or two times, weren't they?
Were they?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's really funny. Yeah.
No, well, it was, they weren't so much caught faking it as so Gross and Fairplay, who were staying in the house.
These two fucking nerds.
Yeah.
While they were staying in the house investigating this, and bearing in mind they're believers as well.
Yeah, very much so.
They were questioned and they were like, don't you think the girls might be having you on? And to head that off at the pass, what they said was they were like, no, we know they are sometimes. But not all the time.
To keep the attention and the people interested.
Yeah,
in the house.
I mean, to be honest, if it was real, it makes sense that sometimes the girls would be like, oh, look, Bob's here
which is
chucking Lego.
Which is what they were going for, and that's why they said that. I mean, like, Gross at one point says, there was one day I remember it vividly. He says, I remember it vividly.
Gross.
I went around and they straight away they said, oh, Bob the Poltergeist has stolen your tape recorder. And
so
up your ass.
So where's this tape recorder again? And obviously I found it in another room, and it was hidden away in a cupboard. And then what the girls had failed to do was they hadn't turned the tape recorder off when they were stealing it, so we could hear them saying, "Oh well, let's take."
Did they call him like a moustache twat and stuff like that?
I hope this fat twat come back for
he's a fucking wanker, isn't he, Janet? Yeah, Margaret, you should make Bob say that later. Oh, that's really funny. I will.
Can you believe that he believes the whole thing from start to finish?
What a fucking idiot!
They got me that time.
I do believe there's a certain amount of exploitation of him as it went through, because he was the only person who was he was a father figure to them, and he was like a presence in that house for almost 2 years.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We've already established that the four of us are skeptics.
Yeah.
So there's no maybe there was no debate to be had here, but there is no way that she was possessed by a poltergeist called Bob.
Yeah.
No. But if you want the basic version of the Enfield Poltergeist, do watch Ghost Watch. It's almost like a 90-minute version of the whole adventure.
And do go and look at the documentary as well, which is Interview with a Poltergeist, because they do have genuine footage of first of all the audio recordings, but also they have interviews with Janet as a girl being possessed by Bob. Yeah. And they also have the interview with the policewoman that wouldn't... She corroborated the fact that furniture moved.
Yeah.
So you can go and watch that, and then you can watch the terrible dramatisation. Yeah. at the same time.
There's no excuse for that either, because Ghost Watch, the acting's so good, and some of the acting is... Michael Parkinson and Sarah Green.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You've got this police constable that says, I was there. I was taking the statements, and then this chair just moved, and I don't know what happened. I looked, and I couldn't work out what happened. And you're like, oh my god! And then the dramatization to illustrate it is a chair moves across on a wire.
That was the other thing as well. I used to have a friend who said, oh, she used to live in a house that was haunted, and the furniture used to move around in the room she was in. And then she said, oh yeah, and the ghost used to do this weird thing with me where I'd stand at the top of the stairs, close my eyes, and then when I woke up again, I was at the bottom, and I was like, nah, that's not ghost work.
No.
That's you falling asleep at the top of the stairs and then waking up at the bottom.
Yeah. So here's a question.
She had a brown out.
We asked if you...
focus on the brown out for a second.
So have you heard of... I was blackout drunk. I blacked out.
We've heard of a white out as
There's
well.
Something... Yeah, a white out. There's
a whitey.
There's a brown out. Which is an unfortunate name, which has nothing to do with...
So you shit yourself.
Pooping yourself. Has nothing to do with it. Brownout is when you go, I don't remember. It's like me with this podcast. I never remember singing the songs. A brownout is when your brain is still working vaguely at the same rate. Vaguely. but you don't form memories of it.
Oh.
So it's a brownout. So she browned out.
What Suze's done there is... given us the title for our spin-off.
Brownout.
Brownout.
You're going to get a lot of people thinking it's a British porn film.
Give it me. Have you got the latest episode of Brownout? Give it me. Brownout. Brownout Sluts, Volume 1. Masood loves this. He is going to make it.
Oh, my God.
Masood's like, I'm securing funding.
I asked you whether you'd worked with Derek Acora, which you had, and I'm so glad you had.
It's great.
And then, if you believed and you didn't, my next question is, those weird things that you've seen...
Yes.
...that
I'll give you them.
Explain, what
three
were
things
they?
That happened.
Oh, yeah.
So, I used to make a joke about this, and it is true, even though I did make a joke about it, but I used to say ghost hunting's not like fishing. You spend a lot of hours doing nothing and then lying about what you caught. Yeah. So I used to say that. Ghost hunting is a lot of that. I must have done... about 200 ghost hunts over the course of 3 years.
Wow.
And not much happened in any of them. However, on three occasions, it was very strange. So the one was I was in this fort in Southampton in a dark room. And it's got a very long story short. I was all alone in a dark room, couldn't see. It was quiet as hell because it was like right underground. Mm. And then it felt like someone was holding my hand. Whoa, and okay. Again, I couldn't explain it. It just felt like someone had held my hand. So when I brought my hand up to see what was going on, I just saw this little white light go blip and disappear.
Ooh. Logan's okay. Run.
Maybe. That would make sense considering my age. I don't have much time in this society.
I love that bit in that film when Michael York goes, but I'm only 26. It's like, you look 43.
Yeah. You don't fool anyone, mate.
By that logic, you should be a teenager in an American slasher film.
You know, because they... In this dark room, there was no one around, just you. Mm. They kind of like, don't they talk about that in the Enfield Poltergeist, where they
the one's browned out.
No, yeah, old brown out.
They play on what people expect to see.
You can expect that. But one of the things I would say is that physical happenings aren't often a thing that happens at all. So to have that feeling of someone holding my hand without explanation in another room by myself, I can't explain. Again, that's not me saying, oh, ghosts. I'm just saying I can't explain that physical manifestation. And there have been no reports of anything similar that have happened to people in that location. In fact, another fort was where the second one happened. And I've got a recording of this, actually. We went to, I think it's called Fort Widley in Portsmouth, which is a horrible
forts.
Name.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, this is just my fort period I was going through. Like, Picasso has his blue, I had my fort.
It's not your fort.
It's not my fort. But we're underground, and forts like stick out of the ground, they're onto the coast, but most of them are underground.
Yes.
So I was like three floors underground, deep into the cliff face, and then there's about four of us, and we start hearing this boom, like cannons going off.
Right.
This is one in the morning. And I'm going, is someone setting fireworks off? Hello, can you hear this? Yeah. Can you hear the fireworks? Is anything going off outside? No, we can't hear anything.
Oh,
so anyway, I recorded it. When you play it back, you can hear me talking, and people, and then in the background, you hear ba-ba-boom, ba-ba-boom. Huh. And then it turned out where we were at, the little room, was an armory where they had the arsenal for the fort, and that blew up once. And so that's where they had the cannons and things
like that. Right, and that's where...
But my favourite one happened in front of 700 people. So we're doing Psychic and Science, this tour I was doing with Derek Acora. And to give you an idea what the content of the show was like, it's called Psychic and Science, but the font was Psychic!
Science.
You know, it's like a tiny little thing. And
those brackets.
Like a footnote.
Yeah, and at one point in the show, we had a massive Ouija board that was on a table in the middle, and we had a camera above it so the audience could see what was going on. Yeah. And look, Ouija boards are shit. I contend there's awful work. It's like you're going to get more chance getting a ghost to come through a Scrabble board than a Ouija board.
Well, it was originally a game, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was never a supernatural.
It was basically like a Magic 8 Ball. You'd ask it if you would find the love of your life, and it would say, it's Andrew.
And you couldn't play it alone because nothing would happen. It needed several of you.
Again, the short story version of this is up until about the 70s, it was just seen as a harmless little toy for ghosts. And, you know, Hasbro own it, so you can buy it in Toys R Us, blue and pink for girls and things.
Amazing.
But what changed it was The Exorcist, because The Exorcist, it was used as the primary reason why.
Which is
allegedly.
Amazing. Like, it's an amazing thing that that film
had that effect.
Changed.
Yes. Yeah.
It was the best-selling game
imagine,
of all time.
Imagine if The Exorcist had used Playmobil.
I would prefer, you know, Simon.
Fucking Ludo or something. Yeah. Oh,
we're
going
to play Monopoly
to
chat to this.
Right, we're going to contact the ghost. Now, it's Twister, so you're going to have to get your socks off.
I do like the idea of it being
but
Simon.
But with them...
That's aliens.
Milton.
The Enfield Poltergeist, they did this. That one of the presenters of a radio show that went around with all of the equipment and stuff, he said, because it's a professional TV crew, everyone's like, we have to be quiet because we're filming.
Mm.
And then they heard the knocks of the poltergeist. Yeah. And this presenter is adamant. He was like, well, it was nobody else because everyone was trying to get the shot and we had cameras trained on everybody in the house.
Yeah. Mm.
Where did those knocks come from? Doesn't mean that there was nobody outside of the house.
No.
Here, those fucking knobheads are filming and knock, knock.
This is the strange thing. This story can easily be described and explained away, but I liked it because there's so many witnesses. So we're doing Psychic Science. We're in Inverness. It was Inverness.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this weird kind of theatre that was half church and half new theatre. So it had been built over a graveyard and an old church that had been knocked down. And we had
Jeff Nicholson there?
No, not this time. We had 700 people in the audience. It was a huge, big show. And we're doing the Ouija board.
All right, went well, did it?
I remember that when I'm playing to 9 in Edinburgh, I'm 100-seater venue.
It's actually sad that my biggest audiences came from those shows and not stand-up. It's factually true as well. But we were doing the Ouija board, and during the story that was coming out from, like, we had people from the audience come on with the psychic and move it all around. And basically, again, to cut a very long story short, which has become my motif recently when I tell these stories, there was a girl, she died before the church was built. She lived on the grounds, and now she's, like, playing around. She's a, and people in the theatre, as we found out after the show, there was reports of a little girl that would run around and, you know, knock the sheets and make little sounds and things like that. We're doing this Ouija board, and this is coming through. And then at one point, I'm just standing there off to the side of the stage looking disinterested, because I kind of don't get involved in the Ouija board. It's my job to be the skeptic host and a parcel. Yeah. So I'm standing there, and then I hear literally this girl's voice almost right in front of my face go, la, la, la.
Wow, like now, proper movie.
And I got the chills.
Ghost girl, yeah.
And I was about to ignore it because the sound in this big area bounces and, you know, you just don't know. Yeah. And then I heard a woman on the front go, oh, did you hear that girl's voice? And another woman and another. Oh. So I stopped the show and I went, all right, did anyone else hear a little girl's voice? Yeah. And they went, yeah. I went, okay, so stop. At once, everyone pointed to where they think the sound came from, and 700 people pointed exactly towards me.
Okay.
And now, here's the other bit, which is quite fortuitous. Now, I had a little like audio recorder, and for 50 of the 52 shows we did, I had it on stage and forgot to record with it.
Oh, no.
Not this time.
Wow.
I'd recorded it, because it was our kind of end of tour finale. We did one more at a castle in Derby.
And
1,000 seater sold out.
Yeah. I play it back, and you can hear the Ouija board, you hear me talking, you hear the people on the stage, and then you hear this voice over the top going, la, la, la.
So it did pick up.
It picked it up.
But you didn't hear it then.
No, I heard it then.
You did.
But it was caught on the cassette, which is very rare. Now, I'm not saying that wasn't someone having a flap, you know what I mean? Or an owl in the fucking gantry, for all I know.
Yeah.
But it was clear enough and close enough to the mic to pick it up without me finding a source.
That is
crazy.
Well, I mean, like,
but again, not prove anything.
Off the top of my head, somebody in the front row went, did you hear that girl's voice? She could have thrown a voice that other people could have
exactly.
heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other part of it, it's like everybody else kind of going, oh,
But it was the 700 other people that all pointed.
Yeah, that is crazy. I mean, it's a great movie moment.
A lot of the skeptic interpretations of the Enfield Poltergeist is a lot of them is that people just went along with
you get caught up in that
and that is true. A lot of people get swept up by what they know and wanting to be part of it.
Because here's the thing, you see, even though I'm a massive skeptic, when you told that story and there was the girl's voice in front of your face, I went, oh great.
Yes!
I was like, oh brilliant.
We love it, and we're skeptics, so if you want to believe, you hear that and you go, smoking gun.
So with the Enfield Poltergeist in mind and everything you've seen and all the experience you've had working with the paranormal, do you have maybe any theories about what happened specifically with the Enfield Poltergeist?
You know what? It feels like there's a lot of these cases, and some of them are more important than others. The Enfield case was special because it did catch a wave of interest at the time.
And it was because the people that were documenting it.
Yeah.
And bearing in mind, I mean, so like, to go back to the Amherst mystery, which we have covered.
Yeah.
There was a guy who was an actor. Again, like Playfair.
Yeah.
He was in the theatre, and he went to stay in the house, and then he wrote a book about it.
You can
still go and look at. And everyone...
Why are we letting actors write books?
And everyone just masseued. and then it captured, like, public imagination and... It really took off. But the Amherst mystery is slightly different in that it was 100 years before this.
Mm.
And so, like, while the same thing could have happened, this then happened in the era of cameras and video, like tape recorders.
Yeah.
And
but ultimately,
radio.
That proved nothing, because you look at how many most haunted knockoffs are on YouTube, how many people can cheaply and easily copy the format with a camera and night vision.
Yeah.
How many times do they catch something? No, and it's always faked and it's always exaggerated. And it's
always hear something and it's just off camera.
So whereas this happened at a time, like I say, where people were a bit naive with technology.
No internet.
And if they were naive with technology, they might believe some of the fakes.
You see, I will say that's true, but that we haven't learned from it. So
true.
Yeah. Now, what I will say is this, right? So when we had ghost stories in the past, they were kind of folklores. We'd tell each other those stories over campfires and scare each other. And we kind of carry a little bit of history over with a bit of kind of sociological
stuff. Yeah, like you'd said at the top of the episode. Yeah.
But what's changed now is that people think because we live in a world with technology and cameras and recorders, we can capture it and debunk it. It's like, no, you look at creepypasta stories that exist online of people who tell stories, and
Slenderman
people
to an attempted murder,
and that can believe that is like almost chaos magic theory in many respects.
People believe the Russian sleep experiment, which if you read it in full, it's just a creepypasta. It's rubbish.
So these stories will carry on. We will never shift ghost stories out of our existence. We'll never debunk it completely because there's always going to be those people who go, yeah, but what if?
It's been so interesting. Thank you.
It has, hasn't it?
Most people don't know anything.
Yeah, yeah. Also, it is serendipitous. You know a lot more about the actual case than a lot of...
Yeah.
It's great knowing a lot about something so pointless and meaningless. But it's served me well.
Welcome to the story of my life. What do you think, Chris?
What do I think? I think to get back to the specifics of the Enfield poltergeist, I don't think it's real, but I think... they wanted it to be real,
yes,
and tried to, for whatever reason, give the impression that it was, and then it caught on, and then they had to keep it up, and then because they had to keep it up, then it became very much not a joke, but that's why she's trying to suppress laughs in the videos. It's kind of like, I have to make this up now, and because she does have to make it up because they're talking to the ghost, and she has to improvise answers based on the questions. And you're a kid, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
So, like, you're going to be like,
"I'm a ghost."
Exactly. So, I think. Listen, I mean,
I like that she knew the word hemorrhage. That's funny.
I died of it. Yeah, but she would have been told that.
Yeah, of course she would.
The guy died. From a hemorrhage.
Like, with an armchair on hemorrhage. Out labour.
Listen, you've been doing that voice for the last couple of episodes. Weirdly, it's exactly Bob's voice.
Exactly. Maybe I'm possessed. Yeah,
are you on your period?
Never.
So what's your theory, Suze?
Well, I have one, and I'd like to deliver it in the medium of song. If you head down Green Street, there's something to behold. Bob's haunting Janet and Margaret. He's made the air turn cold. He came to Enfield and he started some shit. The Daily Mirror thought they'd got to the bottom of it. Stop by when the girls got their periods. Rhymes with idiots.
Just about works.
Just about.
Yeah, we'll give you that.
Wrote it on the hoof. People gather to see girls floating in the window. And what's that up? That was quite Kate Bush. What's that up on the neighbor's roof? It's a fucking pillow. Do you want a theory? Are you saying give it me? But just about a theory. Let's keep it PG. The family all went ghost nuts after drinking real strong whiskey. It was a drinking game gone wrong. Gannon, it's always a drinking game gone wrong. That's one of the things. It was a drinking game gone wrong. They'd all drunk strong whiskey and they were like, it was a ghost.
Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
Genuine pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
What insight as well.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely. We've run long today because there's been so much good stuff.
Genuinely.
That never happens. We never have good stuff.
I mean, like, all of our guests bring something, but they don't normally bring such knowledge.
It's sad, though.
On the actual case.
Yeah.
I mean, that was...
It's not sad. It's great.
But we went down routes that we wouldn't normally have.
Absolutely.
And I think... having somebody that's been on so many ghost hunts
Yeah, is
that was.
Yeah.
There's much more to me than that.
No, I know this as well. Right? And how can we find out?
Where can we find you?
You can find me at Paul Gannon Show on Twitter. I have a podcast called The Cheap Show, which is called which is an economy comedy podcast where me and my co-host Eli Silverman go for the charity shops, the bargain bins, the thrift stores, and Poundlands of Great Britain looking for the treasure amongst the trash. And sometimes we find really cool shit. And sometimes we don't.
I get an electronic Sonic game.
Yeah,
Tiger Games.
I used to work in a charity shop.
See, and we get many stories from people who work in charity shops, and you know how many involve shit.
Unbelievable.
Quite
soiled items.
We'll tell you on the mic. I'll tell you when we finish.
All right.
This story about
at the Cheap Show Pod if you want to watch and listen to that. It's usually about 90 minutes of filth every week.
Nice.
Yeah. And also, Gannon and I have done a series of videos with Mr. Biffo, former guest of the show, Digitizer. They'll be coming out. They might all be out. Yeah, there are ones out already where we tested prison hacks, you know, like prisoners buy food at the commissary and they'll like make
pizza.
But that's
the only thing I do
available.
Remember from all those films.
Yeah. Oh, we also looked at different Kickstarters and
we did that.
So that's all to see. Check out Digitizer, check out Cheap Show, and check out Mystery on the Rocks at Mystery on the Rocks, ROX, on Twitter and Instagram, Mystery on the Rocks, CKS on Facebook. Email us, Mystery on the Rocks, CKS, at gmail.com. Tell us that you want to see us live, because we're going to be doing live shows.
We're doing some more live
shows. Keep an eye out on all of those channels, because we'll tell you when we're doing live shows. It'd be pointless if we didn't.
Yeah.
We just did them secretly.
Yeah. Let's just do one, see who shows up. Oh, nobody.
But yes, do keep an eye on our social feeds.
Yeah.
For all that jazz.
And you have a book coming out about Ghostbusters.
Yes, do that.
So all my solo show stuff that I've been sprinkling out is going to get turned into a book called Ain't Afraid No Ghost, where I talk about my life, Ghostbusters fandom, being a ghost hunter, my mental health, depression, exciting adventures, and what it's like being a Ghostbusters fan post-2016.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And I'm doing that through Unbound. So if you think you like the idea of the stories I've told being a book, then you can go to unbound.com/books/ghosts.
Read it with your eyes.
I love the idea of Unbound. You could get me talking for hours about Unbound. Yeah. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, that's all from us.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe to the show.
Just
leave all the reviews.
We told you, didn't we?
The admin's always the best part of the podcast, isn't it?
Yeah. goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Tell your friends.
Bye.
Mystery on the rocks. Yeah.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.